ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 14 टेक्स्ट नंबर 55। दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज किंग चित्रकेतुज लैमेंटेशन। नहि कर्मश्चेद हि मृत्यु जन्मनोः शरीर नामस्तु तद आत्म कर्म भी। यह स्नेह पाशो निज सर्ग वृद्धये स्वयं कृतस्ते तम इमं वृच्छसि। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। माय लॉर्ड, यू मे से that there is no law that a father must die in the lifetime of his son, and that a son must be born in the lifetime of his father. Since everyone lives and dies according to his own fruitive activity. However, if fruitive activity is so strong that birth and death depends upon it, there is no need of a controller or God. Again, if you say that a controller is needed because the material energy does not have the power to act, one may answer that if the bonds of affection you have created are disturbed by fruitive action, no one will raise children with affection. Instead, everyone will cruelly neglect his children. Since you have cut the bonds of affection that compel a parent to raise his child, you appear inexperienced and unintelligent. Purport. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, Karmani Nirdhati Kintu Cha Bhakti Bhajam. One who has taken to Krishna consciousness, devotional service, is not affected by the results of karma. In this verse, karma has been stressed on the basis of Karma Mimamsa philosophy, which says that one must act according to his karma, and that a supreme controller must give the results of karma. The subtle laws of karma, which are controlled by the supreme, cannot be understood by ordinary conditioned souls. Therefore, Krishna says that one who can understand him and how he is acting, controlling everything by subtle laws, immediately becomes freed by his grace. This is the statement of Brahma Samhita, Karmani Nirdahati Kintucha Bhakti Bhajam. One should take to devotional service without reservations and surrender everything to the supreme will of the Lord. That will make one happy in this life and in the next. Hare Krishna. So this is a typical response of a conditioned soul in regards to the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Srila Prabhupada concludes his purport, devotional service without reservation and surrender everything to the supreme will of the Lord, that will make one happy in this life and in the next. So therefore, here Krita Dyuti, the wife of Chitraketu Maharaj, and he himself are responding to the will of the Lord in a very negative way. So therefore, we see that because of that negative consciousness, they are also presenting their arguments, how things should work. And this is nothing but the sign that one is not willing to accept the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is the typical nature of a conditioned soul, as Prabhupada explained in the previous purport, that whenever there are reversals, a conditioned soul is very expert in blaming Daiva. On the battlefield of Kurukshetra, when Karna was facing Arjuna, everything was going against Karna. He had planned very systematically, acquired all kind of divine weapons as Arjuna had acquired, and he was very much convinced about overcoming Arjuna's valor, fighting him out. But then on the battlefield, which was the final match, materially things started failing for Karna. His chariot got stuck. He forgot all the mantras. And then he started speaking dharma to Arjuna. And then he also started condemning the demigods and the daiva. And then he started speaking to Arjuna how one should act righteously on the battlefield while trying to pull out his wheel of the chariot and trying to find faults with Arjuna. And Krishna spoke one word to Karna. He said, Prayana nicha vasaneshu magna nindanti daiva kukritam na swayam. He said, my dear Karna, mostly everyone, when their circumstances go against them, the situation go against them, what do? They don't recollect their own actions which is causing this reaction. They don't remember all the activities what they have performed. Unfortunately, Krishna said. But what do? They always blame the Supreme Lord. They blame the Daiva. And for Karna, the Lord was there, who is sitting as Paramatma within the heart of every living entity, was also sitting on the chariot of Arjuna. And he gave the list of all the nonsensical activities performed by Karna. And he said, my dear Karna, the reaction what you are facing is all because of your actions. Do not blame the Daiva. And Karna hung his head down. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita also, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was residing in Jagannath Puri, as a sannyasi performing his pastime, relishing the mood of Srimati Radharani, one of his devotees, the son of Bhavanand Roy, Gopinath Patnaik, was caught by the prince, the son of Pratap Rudra, for misappropriating the funds. He was squandering the funds of the palace and using it for sense gratification. So the prince, Purushottam Dev, he decided to, kill Gopinath Patnaik by raising him to Changa. Changa is like a kind of a platform. You are tied and there are upraised swords, very sharp swords. And you are dropped from there and you die. So he was about to be killed and all the devotees are coming to Mahaprabhu. So please save him, he is your devotee. And it's quite interesting, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, don't disturb my devotional service. He didn't take this incident very seriously. Oh, my devotee is in danger, I should save. The expectation of a conditioned soul is that the Lord has to save us from our material danger. But we see the response of the Lord, that when a devotee goes to Krishna asking for, saving from material danger, that is considered as a disturbance. In fact, Mahaprabhu threatened devotees that if you continue to disturb my bhajan, then I will leave Jagannathpuri and go to Alalnath. And Mahaprabhu made a very interesting point. He said, what do you expect from the king? Gopinath Patnaik, he is squandering the funds of the king and going around and seeing all the dancing girls. So if the king wants to punish him, he said, why should I stop him? Let him suffer his own actions in the form of this reaction. Quite amazing, very scary story. Mahaprabhu, the most merciful incarnation, he is not willing to interfere in the difficulties of his devotees. Rather, he is saying that let him suffer the reactions of his activities. And Gopinath Patnaik continued to meditate upon the Supreme Lord. He was continuously remembering the Lord. And eventually the story is that Gopinath Patnaik was saved. And he eventually came to Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya asked one of his devotees, what was Vaninath Rai, what was Bhavanand Rai doing when Gopinath Patnaik was about to be raised to the Changa? And they said, they were continuously chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. एंड महाप्रभु बिकेम वेरी हैप्पी. एंड देन इवेंचुअली गोपीनाथ पटनायक केम. ही सेड माय डियर लॉर्ड बाय योर मर्सी आई वॉज सेव्ड. आई वॉज कंटिन्यूअसली मेडिटेटिंग अपॉन योर लोटस फीट एंड नाउ पीपल नो द ग्लोरीज ऑफ योर मेडिटेटिंग अपॉन यू एंड बिकॉज ऑफ दैट आई मीन सेव्ड. एंड देन गोपीनाथ पटनायक सेड माय डियर लॉर्ड बट दिस इज नॉट योर रियल मर्सी. What is your real mercy? The real mercy you bestowed upon my brother and my father. That you have made them renounce the whole world and take up to complete devotional service. This is not real mercy what you have given to me. And this is what the attitude of a devotee. And Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that if someone performs some act accidentally, Krishna may save a devotee. He will save. But if the actions are repeated again and again, then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, after the whole story is over, Mahaprabhu again reminded Gopinath Patnaik. He said, Patnaik, be careful. Do not squander the wealth of the king. And he said that by doing it, you will be ruined in this lifetime and you will also ruin in the next lifetime. So we see in this story that unfortunately Chitraketu Maharaj and his wife, they are reacting in a very offensive way to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we see in the scriptures, the demons, the demigods, the ordinary conditioned soul, either pious or impious, and the devotees react differently to the same situation. The demons, when they experience reversal, in fact, their whole arrangement is to see that no trouble comes in their life. And they don't mind giving trouble to others so that they don't trouble. They don't get trouble. Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, all big, big demons. They can never accept the question, the concept of taking karma, the reaction to the karma. They defy. Rather, they are willing to fight the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Hiranyakashipu heard that Lord Varahadev killed his brother Hiranyaksha, he didn't take it as mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rather, he said, Vishnu is an enemy and I have to avenge the death of my brother. His whole contemplation and meditation, or he performed all his tapasya with one intention. What is that? Wipe out Lord Vishnu. That is the mentality of demonic people. And we see the present civilization also, they cannot accept this concept of suffering one's action. It is a foreign thing for the conditioned soul. Rather, we make all arrangements to avoid the suffering for our own activities. All the modern technology is so arranged, the concept of karma is not even talked about. It may sound very practical to avoid suffering, but we forget the principle of karma is so precise, you may avoid in this lifetime, and because you have avoided in this lifetime, it will come back with great interest. So demons are like that. They defy, what to speak of accepting their sin, they don't accept the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the nature of the demons. And the demigods, they do not deny the existence of the Lord. They do not deny the laws of the Lord. But still they also try very hard to avoid the reaction. Like Indra, the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam we read. So many times Indra is trying to escape the reaction for his karma. He doesn't have the guts to go and beg forgiveness. Or doesn't have the courage to say, let whatever is supposed to come, let it come, I will accept it. He is making so many plans how to avoid the reaction. And because he is making so many plans to avoid reactions, he is causing more and more karma for himself. He killed some rishi, he offended Brihaspati, kind of very mechanically went to beg forgiveness from his spiritual master, but the spiritual master disappeared. He was like, what can I do? He's not there. I can't find him. And he was finding a solution. then killed Vishwarup, right? Yeah, killed Vishwarup. Then he also killed Vritrasur, who was a great devotee of the Lord. And then rather than taking the reaction, he was distributing, you take, I will give you certain benefits. So that is the nature of a demigod. That he has certain power, he understands it is coming, but he doesn't have that courage. Why he doesn't have the courage? Because accepting reaction for our sin means minimizing the facilities for sense gratification. But Indra doesn't have that courage to minimize his sense gratification. And the ordinary conditioned soul, we see most of us, we come to devotional service because of certain circumstantial reasons. Either we are looking for some kind of, you know, artha, wealth, or we are in distress, or we have some kind of jigyasa, which is not directly connected to asking about the existence of the Lord, serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we come because of the circumstantial reason, and the association of devotee gives a pleasure, even though it is a spiritual pleasure, but still we perceive that to be something which is satisfying to our senses. And we continue to practicing devotional service. And then the reversal also comes in our life. The reversal are nothing but the reaction to our own sinful activity. The typical question we ask when we come to Krishna consciousness, when we hear that, oh, you perform these sinful activities. And for these sinful activities, these are the reaction. We become fearful. Is there any solution to avoid these reactions? Then the Shastra says, yes, accept devotional service. Karmani nirdhati kintuja bhakti bhajam. So we feel that by practicing devotional service, our sin will be eradicated. And that is truth. Rupa Goswami explains, kleshagni shubhada. All the kleshas caused because for sinful activities are eradicated. But that is a lower level of devotional service. That my sinful reactions will be eradicated. And then because of this expectation that there should not be any reaction, but the reactions do come. And when they come, where our intelligence, our heart is churned, is disturbed. And the doubt comes within our mind. We question Krishna's mercy. We question Krishna's power. Many times, that does really Krishna has the power over everything? Why Krishna cannot control the situation? Why this is happening in my life? I am sincerely practicing devotional service, chanting 16 rounds, following the four regulative principles, associating with devotees. But why in this case, Krishna is not interfering? Like Ravindra Swarup Prabhu wrote that essay about one questioner, one priest. He was a preacher. He was preaching the gospels of the Bible. But his son was suffering for some kind of disease and he died at his early age. And what that caused to this person? He created a new philosophy altogether. His philosophy was that God is merciful. God wants to help us, but you know, he's helpless in certain situations. So therefore, God is merciful, but not all powerful. He wants, but is helpless. Trying to exhibit the picture of the Lord as a helpless person, has a concern, but can't do anything. He didn't become angry with the Lord, but he presented a God to be little, you know, less powerful. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we were discussing yesterday, the Supreme Lord is presented sweet person and at the same time very powerful. The powerful personalities are not very sweet. Yamaraj, you don't find any sweetness in Yamaraj. He sounds, when we have Yamaraj's dream, you know, we shake, we sweat. Or if we have small children, they don't create fear. They create sweetness. You feel affection towards them. But you can't depend upon them. They are all depending upon us. But the Srimad Bhagavatam presents the picture of the Lord As Bhurijan Prabhu very nicely explained in his Kunti's teachings, that Krishna is presented in the Srimad Bhagavatam as what? All powerful and one who can give protection to his devotees. But then because of the situation what we experience, because of our own karma, which we want to avoid altogether, not experience any reaction. But when it comes, the first thing you say, why? Why this is happening in my life? Why Krishna is doing it? Many questions are raised. Sometimes even practicing devotees, this question is raised in their mind. Does really God exist? Does Krishna really exist? So therefore, this is the natural reaction of the conditioned soul. Or sometimes he gives up the devotional service also. But on the other hand, the devotee of the Lord, when the reversal comes in his life, like Parikshit Maharaj, we read in the first canto of the Bhagavat. In fact, before even the reversal comes, before the reaction comes, they pray for the reaction. And that is the devotee. He doesn't try to avoid it, saying that my devotional service should protect me, because Krishna himself is saying, Karmani nirdhati kintucha bhakti bhajam. I am a devotee, so no reaction should come. Rather, he invites the reaction. When Parikshit Maharaj, such a brilliant purport Prabhupada has written in this whole incident. Parikshit Maharaj going to the forest, feeling thirsty. And then, you know, he was expecting the sage will offer him a seat, because he was an atithi. Not only ordinary atithi, he was the king of the entire planet. He was expecting a seat. He was expecting water from the sage Shamika Rishi. But Shamika Rishi did not acknowledge the presence of Parikshit Maharaj. And Prabhupada writes brilliantly, there was no wrong on the part of Parikshit Maharaj to feel anger towards Shamika Rishi. But at the same time, Parikshit Maharaj is not an ordinary person. He was a great devotee of the Lord. So naturally expect him to tolerate. So Parikshit Maharaj became upset. He became angry. And in his anger, he took a dead snake. You don't expect this to be done by a great personality. He took a dead snake and put it around the neck of Shamika Rishi, and he walked away. And Prabhupada said, this is not that Parikshit Maharaj was, you know, doing it because of his bad background. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Jiva Goswami say, it was the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada does not blame Parikshit Maharaj. Rather, he takes it as a divine arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead so that the Srimad Bhagavatam should be spoken. Now, Parikshit Maharaj put that dead snake and he starts walking towards his palace and he starts contemplating. Is that the Rishi was actually meditating? Was his meditation real? Or was it that he wanted to avoid me as a fallen Kshatriya? He starts repenting of his action. And then Parikshit Maharaj is continuing to walk. Here, Shamikrishi's son Shringi comes to know about this. And he curses Parikshit Maharaj, comes back and tells his father that this low-class Kshatriya has done this act and therefore I have cursed him that he should die within 7 days. Now, Shamikrishi was also a great devotee. When he heard this curse uttered by his son, he started repenting. He said, what you have done? He's such a king. He's our protector. If the Kshatriyas are not there, then who will maintain the religious principle? You have done a great sinful act. He starts condemning his son. He starts condemning this act. And then he prays to the Supreme Lord, my dear Lord, please protect the wayward behavior of my son, because he has offended the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he hopes that Parikshit Maharaj counteracts the curse, Prabhupada writes in the purport. But knowing who is Parikshit Maharaj, the pure devotee of the Lord, Shamika Rishi expresses, he says, tiraskrita vipralabda kshapta kshipta hato api nasitat prati kurvanti tad bhakta prabhavopi hi. He said, how do I expect reaction or counter-attacking on this one? Parikshit Maharaj is such a great devotee. The devotees of the Lord, even if they are harassed, they are cursed, or even if you go to kill them, na pratikurvanti, they don't react, even though they are very powerful. So there is no question of Parikshit Maharaj trying to counter curse my son. So therefore my son needs the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He knew that Parikshit Maharaj will not create some mundane, you know, facilities to avoid this curse. And unfortunately, this is what has been depicted in all the Bhagavad Saptahas. What do they depict? They depict that Parikshit Maharaj is cursed to die within 7 days. That is the consciousness of people who approach God for maintaining the existence of this material body. Such a shame that Parikshit Maharaj is such a great devotee, but the depiction is that Parikshit Maharaj created a glass house, a huge, very tall glass house, and he was living on the top floor, and all entrance into the palace was closed. Nobody could come to him, and he is waiting for the 7 day to complete. And one day was over, second day was over, third day was over, and 7 day was about to over. Then Takshaka, with the help of a Brahmana, he appeared in a small berry, and was brought to Parikshit Maharaj. And Parikshit Maharaj felt great hankering to eat these fruits. Just see how he is presented as a person interested in avoiding it and wanting to fulfill his material desire. So that snake bird, Takshaka, was hiding in that, and Parikshit Maharaj started eating this bear. And when he opened one bear, like we find sometime insect, he found this small insect. And Parikshit Maharaj said, okay, anyway, I'm supposed to be beaten by the snake. Let this small insect bite me so that I counteract the curse. And he started laughing loudly that I'm avoiding this curse. Now nothing can happen to me. And that snake, that small insect turned into big snake, and Parikshit was shocked, and it bit him, and Parikshit was dead. So they are just, you know, directing the mentality of their own consciousness on the character of Parikshit Maharaj. But the Bhagavad explains very clearly what to speak of avoiding the curse, rather he was welcoming the curse. Parikshit Maharaj said that what an act I have performed. Even though I am connected to the Pandavas, my act is so heinous. It is not good. So therefore, let all the reaction come upon me. Let my kingdom be burnt. Let my riches be burnt. Let my power be destroyed. Unless this reaction comes to me, not only I have to suffer, my entire family has to suffer. So whatever suffering has to come, let it come upon me. And Prabhupada writes, when we perform devotional service, the benefits are received by the family members also. He gives the example of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj's father, not performing devotional service, still received the benefit of performing devotional service. Similarly, our bad act also results in affecting the family members. And Parikshit Maharaj said, no, let me suffer. Let everything be destroyed. He didn't simply pray. When the news was brought to Parikshit Maharaj, what was his reaction? Sometime we may pray to Krishna, Krishna, let whatever happened, supposed to happen, let it happen. Because it's a nice prayer. When actually Krishna gives that message, look, you know, this is going to happen with you. The sudden reaction is, come on, I'm a good devotee, I was praying, you should have stopped it. That is our mentality. But when Parikshit Maharaj brought this news that you have been cursed to die within 7 days, again he responded that Krishna is so kind to me, that I am so attached to all these material facilities, that I am not practicing devotional service very seriously. And the Lord is so kind and merciful, he has come in the form of this curse of a Brahmana, Dvijashapa Rupa. And therefore, Parikshit Maharaj became so determined, so convinced, and he prayed to all the sages, Tamopayatam pratiyantu vipra, Gangacha devi dhritachitta mesha, Dvijopasrishta kohakam takshakova, dasatvalam gayata vishnu gataha. Let whatever this brahmana boy has created, a flying snake bird, let it come and bite me at once while I continue to hear the glorious deeds of Lord Vishnu. So we see how the demons react to the same situation. The demigods react. The ordinary living entities react. And the pure devotees react. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada also in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu explains that one should wait for the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A very important factor. Because when we come to Krishna consciousness in the beginning, we are told that all of your sinful reactions are eradicated just by practicing devotional service. And they do it because Shastra explained. But the higher level is, a devotee is not worried about the reactions. What he worries is that, either in good or bad, I should continue to remember Krishna. One poet in South India, he says, whatever is supposed to happen, but I need to have the mercy of the Lord at all the times. I should not forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, when Prahlad Maharaj offered his prayers to the Lord Narsingdev gave him the position. He said, you become the successor, take over the kingship of Hiranyakashipu and rule. What is the concluding prayers? The advice given by Lord Narsingdev. Very interesting. Lord Narsingdev told Prahlad Maharaj, he said, Bhogena Punyam Kushalena Papam Kalevaram Kala Javena Hitva Kirtim Vishuddham Suraloka Gitam. And the last word is Mukta Bandaye. He said, you'll be liberated. And what is the explanation of this verse? Lord Narsingdev told Prahlad Maharaj, who is the pure devotee, Prabhupada says, he's Sadhana Siddha also, he's Nitya Siddha also. If he's a sadhaka, this verse is very much applicable to all of us. The Lord said, Bhogena Punyam. He said, you enjoy all your pious activities. You exhaust your pious activities by enjoying them. If enjoyment is due to us, you can't avoid by becoming a renunciate. You have to complete your quota. Bhogena Punyam, Kushalena Papam. But when the reactions to your sinful activities come, how do you react? Kushalena. Kushalena means by performing positive activities, you avoid your impious activities. Bhogena Punyam Kushalena Papam Kalevaram Kala Javena Hitva. In this way, you pass your time hearing the glorious deeds of my activities. Kirtim Vishuddham Suraloka Gitam. And then eventually you'll attain liberation. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that expert management while living in this world, because we are living in the world of duality, where there is good and bad. Good is also overwhelming and bad is also overwhelming. But within both, good or bad, one should continue to remember Krishna at all the times. Srila Prabhupada writes in another purport that as long as we forget that we are servant of Krishna, either good or bad, they are both dangerous. But if we remember that we are the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, consciously, when Gopinath Patnaik, he told the Lord that your real mercy, you have bestowed it to Bhavanand Roy and Ramanand Roy. They have renounced everything and they have taken up to your devotional service fully. And I also want to renounce. Mahaprabhu said, no, there is no need. Because who will take care of your such a large family? You continue to work, deal with pound and shilling. But in all cases, you remember the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada writes there, taking sannyas or dealing with pounds or shilling, they are both material. They are both external. What is important while taking sannyas or dealing with money is that one should continue to remember that he is the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Very powerful point. Both. Even sannyas can cause intoxication, or the money can also cause intoxication. But what does not cause reaction is the consciousness of a devotee that I am the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, this verse which Narsingdev spoke to Prahlad Maharaj is so important. that one cannot. The reactions will come even if we are practicing devotees. In fact, they should come. Because when they come, for whatever activities we perform, we avoid by taking shelter of the Supreme Lord in a superficial way. And it doesn't work. The reaction will come. When the reaction comes, our conviction, our faith in the Lord is disturbed. Our faith in the devotees is disturbed. But rather when we pray with great daring, let the reaction come. And when the reaction comes, Krishna gives the power to handle that suffering with a greater consciousness. And that gives great pleasure to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because the Lord is not there sitting to save us from our sinful reaction. Another thing is that when a devotee is saved from his wrongdoings, then he takes Krishna for granted. As Prabhupada explained, then he gives the contract to the Lord. He gave the examples of the Christians that Jesus Christ has taken contract eternally to save us from the sinful activities so that we can continue to perform sinful activities. This becomes the mentality of a devotee, that you are there to protect me, and he becomes casual about his devotional service, continues to perform his sinful activity, starts deviating from all kinds of rules and regulations, expecting that Krishna will protect. No, Krishna will protect only when we are ready to receive. And when we are ready to receive, then we are fearful to commit these sinful activities. And that's what the Bhagavad Shastra explains. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Rupa Goswami, he explains that the reactions are minimized. Prabhupada explains, either the reactions are minimized. If your finger is cut, you say, what do you say, that okay, because I'm a devotee, I'm trying to be a devotee, today my neck was supposed to be cut, but Krishna is very merciful, only my finger has been cut. He minimizes. Or else Krishna can actually remove all our suffering. Rupa Goswami explains, but that is very rare, that you're born in a low family, no, you are a leper, then immediately everything is disappeared. That may not happen in this very lifetime. Very rarely it may happen. It happened with Vasudev, leper. But the most important, or the most important way how Krishna eradicates our suffering is by changing our consciousness. Giving us that power that if anything happens in your life, you take this as your own wrongdoings. Tattenu kampa susamikshamana. That is the guiding principle for a practicing devotees. You can't avoid suffering, you can't avoid enjoyment, but rather you change your attitude and become continue to expect the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the problem with the conditioned soul or a practicing devotee is that the sense objects are very powerful. I was just reading the story of Sugriva promising the Lord. We read that part of the story where Sugriva and Lord Ram had a truce, kind of a treaty, that both are suffering. You have lost your wife, I have lost my wife, I have lost my kingdom, you have lost your kingdom. Apparently it appears that both are suffering, but Lord Ram is Lord Ram, Sugriva is Sugriva. So then the Lord said, I will help you. I will get back your kingdom, I will get back your wife. And the Lord helped him. Sugriva got back. He got back his wife, he got back his kingdom. He had a double wife now. The wife of Vali also. And the promise was there, I will come and help you. Within 4 months, after the rainy seasons are over, Chaturmas is over, I will send my team all around the world to look for Mother Sita. He had the facility, he had the power. In fact, Vali starts explaining all the directions. He had such a knowledge of geography of the whole earth. So he had the resources, he had the power, he had the intelligence. But the trouble was, after the 4 months were over, there was no news from Sugriv. Lord Ram completed his Chaturmasya. He is waiting. And Sugriv is not to be seen. The same principle. We take Diksha. No. That I will render service to you for the rest of my life. चैंट हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. Actually, they had kind of ceremony where Sugriv promised Lord Ram. Lord Ram fulfilled his promise, but what was the problem? The problem was not that Sugriv lacked intention. The intentions were there to help Lord Ram, but the problem was sense objects. And that is the trouble with the conditioned soul. Now he had a double sense objects. Two wives, such a big kingdom, and he was thinking, no, I know I need to do, I need to serve, I need to help the Lord. But the time was passing. He didn't even realize that the 4 months have passed so fast. And the Lord Ram here, he sent a message through Lakshman. He said, you go tell Sugriv, the path of Vali, which has traveled, has not closed down. It is still open. I can send Sugriv also from that same path. This is not right on Sugriva's part that he is acting like this. And Lakshman, if Lord Ram is anger, then Lakshman is doubly anger. Lord Ram always had to stop Lakshman from being anger. Lakshman said, I'll go and kill him now. I'll finish him off. Ram said, no, don't do like that. He said, just go and warn him. And Valmiki Ramayana depicts so beautifully how Lakshman comes to the palace of Sugriv. And surprisingly, by seeing Lakshman, all the soldiers of Sugriv, rather than welcoming him, they take all kinds of weapons to fight Lakshman. This is the mentality of a conditioned soul. When the spiritual master and his representative come and remind us, you are supposed to perform devotional service, he has many excuses, the Vanaras. I can't do this, I can't do that. And Sugriv, surprisingly, said, what is the problem with Lakshman? You know, it's so difficult to maintain friendship. One can make friendship, but to maintain friendship is so difficult. What wrong I have done? I have not done anything wrong. He is so intoxicated. You know, he is having lustful desires. He was not able to recognize that the time has passed and I have to perform my service to Lord Ram. So the problem with the conditioned soul is not wrong intentions. The intentions are there. But we so casually interact with the sense object. And the sense object, what do? They take us away from the stipulated time period. This is the time I wanted to perform devotional service. And Hanumanji said, my dear Sugriv, the 4 months have already passed. Your promise was after the 4 months, you are supposed to help. He had forgotten that. He is thinking, why? Why Lakshman is angry with me? Why should he be angry? We are friends. He should not be angry with me. He was accusing Lakshman for becoming angry and accusing for understanding him wrongly. So Hanuman reminded him, no, you are supposed to perform your service. So therefore, in the mundane world, we hear Krishna Katha, we hear the instructions. We know we are supposed to perform, but these senses are so powerful, the sense objects are so powerful. Mahabharata explains, yes, the Shastra says the senses are higher than the sense object. Because most of the time the sense objects are inert. But the power of sense object is so great that it drags the senses towards the sense object. And therefore, sense objects are more powerful than the senses in reality. In technicality, senses are higher than sense object. And what to speak of the sense objects are living sense objects. The inner sense object can cause such a diversion of our path. And what to speak of living sense object. So in the living sense objects interact with the senses that create strong bondage. And the desire to practice devotional service to the Lord remains a desire in itself. We do not actually implement that. Like, you know, we tell this story in the school that three frogs were sitting on the edge of the well and one of the frog decided, let me jump in the well. How many frogs remained? Two. Three, because only desired. Only decided to jump, he did not jump. All the children said two. So deciding to jump
and not deciding is the same. Because the frog which is deciding to jump has not jumped. And others too have not decided to jump, so they are also there on the edge. So therefore, the point was made to decide and to do, there is a vast difference. A devotional service is a very practical science. If we study Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahaprabhu's philosophy is so divine, so high, but at the same time, down to earth practical. We were discussing in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave different instruction to different devotees according to their propensity. He gave them the order to follow. He told Saravam Bhattacharya that you worship Daru Brahma. Daru Brahma Kare Sevan. And he told his brother, you worship Jala Brahma. You worship Mother Ganga. And he told Mukunda Sarkar, Raghunandan and Narahari Chakravarti. Narahari Chakravarti said, you preach and associate with devotees. And he told Raghunandan, you just worship the deities. And he told Mukunda Sarkar, you increase your material wealth and you increase your spiritual wealth. I was giving this talk in one place and one Marwadi, Guptaji came. He said, he's a devotee. He said, I never heard this one from Mahaprabhu saying earn money. He said, increase your material wealth. How could Mahaprabhu say this? I showed him the verse. Kaviraj Goswami is saying, Lord Chaitanya told, he spoke to Mukunda Sarkar that you earn your material wealth and also earn your spiritual wealth. So this specific instruction is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the representative. And when we accept those instructions and actually execute them, then our devotional service becomes really real. And in this way, we start making progress. Otherwise, it simply remains on the platform of desiring. And unfortunately, in this age of Kali, death is so uncertain. Fearing death doesn't make any sense. Why? Because death will come. Either you fear or you don't fear. Satsuru Maharaj gave the example of two Zen monks. They were wandering in the forest and they heard very powerful roar of the lion. They are fearless. But their fearless is not going to stop them from death. Our fearing death will not stop us from dying. Because death does not give us any choice. When the time comes, it just takes us away. But Krishna gives us the choice to render devotional service or not to render devotional service. And only this choice, if we misuse by not rendering, then we have to come back to this mundane world. The mundane world is so created. Lord Chaitanya told Sanatana Goswami, by dying you don't attain Krishna. Sometimes we have this concept. You know, I have to just die and then I go back to Krishna. It is not so easy. Just by dying, as a devotee who is not actually seriously practicing devotional service, he doesn't have the right to go back to Krishna. Because he has not fulfilled his responsibilities. Mahaprabhu told Sanatana Goswami, my dear Sanatana, if one can attain Krishna by dying, I'm willing to give up my life millions of times. He said, that is simply tamogun. How will you attain Krishna? Only by rendering devotional service. Only when you render devotional service to Krishna, and he quoted the incidents of Rukmini. Rukmini was eager to attain Krishna. But Shishupal was an obstacle. And she said, my dear Lord, I'm willing to offer my life hundreds of times if I can attain you. But she knew it is not possible by simply dying. Therefore, a devotee should understand that simply by becoming old, simply by dying and not fulfilling our promise as promised by Sugriv and not endeavoring to fulfill that promise, we don't attain the mercy. We will be in the world of our own imagination. Oh, death will take me to Krishna. No, we have to come back to complete the path of devotional service with our own conviction and establish in this consciousness, beyond the consciousness of the demons, beyond the consciousness of demigods, beyond the consciousness of Vritrasur and Kritadyuti, but trying to follow in the footsteps of Parikshit Maharaj. And how that will happen, we will see. Such a bad consciousness both had, Krutadyuti and Chitraketu Maharaj, but they came in touch with Angira Muni and Narad Muni. Narad Muni and Angira Muni came at the right time and they preached a powerful philosophy. And same Chitraketu Maharaj, losing your property is a painful thing, but losing your own identity is a greater danger. He was losing his son, he was lamenting, but now when Parvati cursed him, as Chitraketu Maharaj, we will read that, he was losing his identity as the king of the Siddhaloka, all the enjoyment. He was condemned as being a low class devotee, not a high class devotee. He was condemned to become a Brahma Rakshas, a man eating Rakshas. But what was the consciousness of Chitraketu Maharaj at Dhritarasura? He didn't even shake. He smiled. He folded his hands. And he said, "My dear mother," he said, "you are not responsible. You are simply an instrument. I didn't do any mistake, but if you are cursing me, I accept it as the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead." He folded his hand and he walked away so casually, of course respecting Mother Parvati. And by seeing that Lord Shiva, such a beautiful description. In fact, this sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the story of Chitraketu Maharaj and Vritrasur, is the most important part of the Srimad Bhagavatam for practicing devotees. Because we see both consciousness. Chitraketu Maharaj is not a mundane person, was not a Nastik. He was a devotee, but he was a pious, fruitive devotee. And such devotional service is very risky. But when he was connected with Angira Muni and Narad Muni, they gave him knowledge, and what a change. He got the knowledge, he practiced devotional service, but still the danger came. He got the reaction for his wrongdoings. Prabhupada writes both. He says, you know, Parvati being a woman, natural, she would, you know, understand wrongly. And he also says, Chitraketu Maharaj should have not acted like that. So the point is that Chitraketu Maharaj, even as a great devotee, has to suffer the reaction. But how did he accept it? He accepted it as the mercy of the Lord with folded hands. He tolerated it. And then when he was going back to the spiritual world, he was going back to the spiritual world not because of the suffering in this world, rather separation from the Lord. There's a big difference. Suffering and wanting to go back to Godhead and feeling separation from the Lord out of love, there are big difference. And here Vritrasur was feeling intense separation. Virahaya kangshe na naka prastam na cha parameshtam. That what matters, what position I get, I don't want them. Why? Because I want to go back to the spiritual world and be in the association of the Supreme Lord and render devotional service unto Him. And that is Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, this is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Srila Prabhupada came to give us. Lord Chaitanya told Sanatana Goswami, what is the mission of Mahaprabhu? Very nice story somebody told, that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very clear. He wanted to perform his bhajan, chant billions of names. He did that for 9 years and he didn't want to preach. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, no, you have to preach. You have to save the conditioned soul. He was residing in Yogapit, in Chandrasekhar Bhavan. And suddenly he saw one small paper flying and landed on his lap. And Saraswati Thakur took that, and it was a torn verse, a paper from Chaitanya Charitamrit. And the verse was the instruction given by Sri Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami, which is the mission of Mahaprabhu. And the verse said that Krishna Bhakti, Krishna Prem Seva Pravartan, Lupta Tirtha Uddhar or Vairagya Shikshan. Mahaprabhu told Sanatana Goswami, this is your mission. What is that? You describe pure devotional service. You establish centers which help devotees to practice to attain Krishna Prem. Krishna Prem Seva Pravartan. Prabhupada translates Seva Pravartan as the centers for practicing pure devotional service. Lupta Tirtha Uddhar. You re-establish the lost holy places and teach people Vairagya Shikshan. And Saraswati Thakur took that chit. He felt, this is the desire of Mahaprabhu. This is the order of Mahaprabhu. And he made this as his mission. To teach about pure devotional service, establish 108 Gaudiya Mats, to teach how to practice pure devotional service, and he'll establish the lost holy places of Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And then he taught Vairagya to all of his devotees, grahasthas, sannyasis, same. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada also following in his footsteps and establish this principle so that we can get the facilities, understand what is pure devotional service, practice pure devotional service in the centers. What an amazing facilities we have been awarded in Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON. When Radhanand Maharaj is going back to Europe and America after he gave the class last Sunday, he said, what a good fortune we have. He said, my feeling, he was saying, he said, this is his feeling. He said, Prabhupada is manifesting so strongly at Radha Gopinath temple. And we should take this opportunity of such a wonderful association of devotees and complete our devotional service in this very lifetime. Not simply desire, but fulfill the desires of the spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada by practically doing it while chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare, and go back to the spiritual world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Bo.
Prabhuji, we understand devotional service is very important, and as you said, you know, we have to do it. Prabhuji, how to develop, we have been hearing this philosophy, but how to develop that firm conviction within our heart that yes, this is the way, and just carry on, whether good time or bad time, as you said. How to develop that firm conviction within our heart?
So one thing is that we have to keep hearing, you know, like that what we are hearing. Even though we are not doing, there is no solution. We have to keep hearing. Unless we hear about what we are not doing and what we are supposed to do, still at least the desire will remain. At least we will be sitting on the edge of the well. I want to jump. Otherwise, we'll walk away from the well altogether. So we should be sitting on the edge. That is the first thing. And second thing, we have to recognize that the power of Maya is so great. I was just remembering this example that if you go to Badrinath, Alaknanda, her currents are so powerful. I remember, you know, they have a chain. You have to take bath in Alaknanda. Then you have to come back to the hot water pond. Then again you go back to Alaknanda, take bath. You don't go inside, because if you go inside, you'll never come out. The current is very powerful. Then you go to take darshan of Badri Vishal. So one devotee, and they have put this huge chains to grab them tightly. Now you can't just get down in the water because they have two powerful currents. You have to hold the chain very strongly and then take a mug in your hand and collect water. When you put your mug inside, the current is so powerful, you know, your hand is hit very hard. So one devotee took the mug very casually, holding the chain. He put his, you know, hand in the water. The current was so powerful, within no time, mug was 100 meters away. So I was thinking that the chain of devotee association is there. We have to grab it all the time. And mundane world is like the Alaknanda river. Very powerful. And the mug is, you know, the instrument, what we say, Yukta Vairagya, I will use it in Krishna service. Bead bag, yeah, bead bag. You are approaching bead bag. But if you don't hold it tightly, within no time the bead bag and the bead, they are separated. Bead bag is someplace, beads are someplace. So therefore, you know, we have to make that conviction. Therefore, in the Vedic, as I said, how Mahaprabhu is so practical. Chaitanya Charitamrita is such a divine book, but gives practical suggestions. Lord Chaitanya told Shivanand Sen, Vasudeva does not know how to take care of his finances. He said, become his finance manager. Kaviraj Goswami is writing this about Mahaprabhu. And he's ordering Shivanand Sen, who has the abilities to make money, he said, you maintain the devotees. Sponsor their yatras when they would come. So every devotee has been given that specific service. We fear to come close to, you know, the representative of the spiritual master. We only come when we have difficulties. So that, you know, the guru and the representative, they become sympathetic and solve our problem. Once the problem is solved, we stay away far. Because if we come too close, then the instructions will come. Do this, do that, do this service. We can ask Krishna Prabhu, Radha Krishna Prabhu, you know, what instructions come. We stay away. Only when the problems come, we'll go to the spiritual master. Because he'll be absorbed, feeling sympathy towards us. But when the problem is solved, just stay away here, Hare Krishna. Invite him for marriage, invite him for this function, that function. But when he has to give service, we stay away. So we have to have that guts. Okay, accept the service. And when we actually do that service, by minimizing our interaction with the sense object, we see, you know, the sense objects are so powerful, so many gadgets. We know it very well. Even devotees, when you're hearing Krishna Katha, they become cameramen. Everybody having a camera, taking, clicking pictures. That is not the purpose of sitting for Srimad Bhagavatam class. Hear the Srimad Bhagavatam class. Diverting our attention. Becoming like Sugriv. You know, why Lord is angry with me? He forgot that he had promised. Very beautifully described. Devotees should read this part. How Sugriv is talking how friendship is so difficult to maintain. I didn't do anything to him. I had already promised. And why is he doing like that? But Hanumanji said, look, you know, you have already made a mistake because you have not fulfilled your promise. Lakshmanji has come to remind you with his weapon. So therefore, we need to have that conviction that let me come close to the spiritual master and sincerely ask. Not only come to him when we have troubles. Come to him asking, I need to do some service. I will not do on my own. I don't have that conviction. Unless you tell me, give me some specific service. And when that order comes, your willingness is there to hear that service. The order comes and then miracles happen. What is that miracle? The power comes, the time comes, the facility also comes to render that service. But we fear to come close. No, how can I come close? You know, it will minimize my mundane responsibility. But then, how long can we hold on to the mundane responsibilities? Like one of our devotee, Mother Ganga, she was living in Vrindavan. A good lesson for all of us. She was living in Vrindavan so that she can, you know, die in Vrindavan. But material nature and Krishna's, you know, way of working is so mysterious. It made her travel out of Vrindavan. She got down from the train. You know, she was applying for some PhD, and right on the platform, massive cardiac arrest, dead. Just 40 years old. So what guarantee is there this will not happen to us? We think, no, you know, I've got so many responsibilities. We avoid death. And then avoid taking, so many projects are there. At Radha Gopinath temple. And you can't hire people for that. Hired people will always be, you know, they are not asset. They ultimately become a liability. What we need is responsible devotees. Working for Krishna, naturally there is less facilities for mundane sense gratification. But the facilities of retirement is out of this world. Go back to the spiritual world. Therefore we see Prabhupada's projects, you know, Radha Gopinath's project requires that conviction. 2 hours, 4 hours, with all those difficulties. You know, so many projects are there. Gopal Garden is there. Hospital is there. Food for Life is there. So many projects are there. So one has to plan. Okay, at this stage of my life, and I'll increase my, as simple as that, increase my service. Add more devotional service and minimize. Not that abruptly decide under the guidance of devotees, but we have to do it. There is no other choice. Full-time devotional service is not only for the brahmacharis. Full-time service is for everybody. And you don't have to be full-time to perform full-time devotional service. You can stay in your home and continue doing what you are doing, but slowly add some amount of time so that you can directly engage in the service of the Lord. That is how I think it will work. Yes, Mahaprabhuji.
You know, we all the time find out something which suits us from the class. So you mentioned something about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that yes, you can work and you can use the money which you earn in the service of the Lord. And throughout life, you give the license by that method that, okay, I will work, means that's a tendency, and I will use, but actually it's not use, but it is indirectly there is a lot of sense gratification in it. So how to work that way?
Again, therefore, ultimately we are the monitor of our own lives. We can't expect guru, counselor, and the other devotees to be monitoring our life. Ultimately, we have to judge. The spiritual master will always encourage whatever we do, whatever level. A devotional service is limitless. How much you can do, there is no limit to it. What is the ideal standard to be a great devotee? There is no ideal standard. It is limitless. And there is no limit how fallen you could be. So there is no limit. You know, there is no, you can't. But what the spiritual master sees, that from that limitless, the limitless bottom of the fallen condition, if you even desire, he will encourage. Oh, very good. You are trying to be a devotee. That is the nature of a devotee of the Lord. So therefore, ultimately, we are the monitor of our own lives. We know our consciousness. Guru knows. But his mood is, the mood of the acharyas is that, you know, do something. Practice devotional service. Whatever you do, we are grateful. But the individual devotee has to realize, see, what is my position? If he's satisfied thinking, if he's content, at least I'm doing this much, then he's in great risk. He's in risk that I'm doing this much. Rather than thinking that at least I'm doing this much, one should feel that I'm only doing this much. So far away from practicing pure devotional service. So that monitoring, Prabhupada also explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that one's attitude, one's consciousness, one has to continuously realize. Because that is the only guiding principles. Pure devotional service is there and your consciousness is there. My consciousness is there. Where is my consciousness? Once you know, or once I know that I am not doing rightly, I should be doing so much. And that should give rise to guilt. And that guilty consciousness should give rise to a desire to render practical devotional service. And that desire to render practical devotional service should give a rise to inquiry in a private way to the spiritual master and asking him that give me some specific service. Unless you give me specific service, I don't think I can get out of this entanglement. And when the guru gives that specific service, do this, because now he has the conviction that you are willing to accept because you have come. So therefore, nobody can monitor our life better than we ourselves. The devotees will guide, but monitoring has to be done by every individual devotee. How much progress we want to do in devotional service has to be decided by every devotee. It's all up to us. And then if we decide, okay, this much I want to do, or this the social system may discourage us, some encourage us, what are you doing, you are being fanatical. Now many things will be spoken. But then you know what you want to do. Of course, again, the guidance is always there. But the conviction has to be expressed to the authorities. And the service will be given. So therefore, Mahaprabhu, yes, he told different devotees. So what is good instruction for me? Yadubhar Prabhu told that story. One devotee went to make money for Krishna. He made money for Krishna, but money never came to Krishna. Rather, his chanting also stopped. Yadubhar Prabhu met him after many years, said, why? You know, he forgot that he wanted to make money for Krishna. So making money for Krishna is not a difficult one. But giving that money to Krishna, that is the most difficult one. That takes greater hard work than actually making money for Krishna. If it is your propensity, you will make money for Krishna. And that's not a big deal. But to give, you know, when the time comes, you know, that is a difficult. Therefore, you know, we see when our devotees, Krishna Chandra Prabhu, Radha Giridhar Prabhu, Shinaji Prabhu, better than sannyasis. Because not only make money, but give it to Krishna. And no credits wanted. We never say, you know, they sponsored this gold lifting, they sponsored this altar. Never. So that kind of conviction, Krishna is allowing them to make money. And greater than that, Krishna gives that independence. Now you decide to give it. You want to give or you don't want to give. Krishna helps you to make money, but Krishna gives you the choice. You want to give or you don't want to give. There he doesn't interfere. Like somebody asked Maharaj in Delhi, Radhanand Maharaj, about why Krishna gives that independence. Why? Why does he give? Why can't he just make us what we are supposed to do? He said, Krishna is so kind, he is willing to take that risk by giving you independence. Amazing answer. He said, he is willing to take that risk. I never heard this answer. He is willing to take that risk by giving us that independence. He helps us to make money, but he says, okay, now you decide if you want to give it to Krishna or not. He is willing to take that risk, knowing that we may not use it for Krishna, we may not use it for him, we may use it for ourselves. So therefore, Krishna is a very mysterious God. He helps in everything, but when we have to make that decision, he said, now you decide. I will not interfere. Such a nice answer. Krishna is willing to take that risk so that he gives us independence because he's very kind.
This material world.
Yeah.
Because that independent we are misusing.
Yes. Therefore, now you decide and let me decide also what to do with our few years what we have left, what we have now. You know what you are supposed to do. We preach. That's what Maharaj told you. Preach like a lion-like voice. Shake everyone. Let Giri Govardhan take care of Mataji. Raghunath Prabhu, comment. Yes.
So sometimes we desire something and we ask the Lord. And then that desire is not fulfilled. So we say, my Lord, you didn't fulfill my desire. And yet we know that the Lord always answers our prayers. Sometimes the answer is no, but we don't want to accept it. And yet, we hear ananyas chinta yantamam ye janaha paripan. For one who worships me with devotion, I carry what he lacks and I deserve what he has. Now, how to understand that sometimes the answer is no, so we should accept it. At the same time, keep on desiring that, no, if I keep desiring, the Lord will fulfill my desire. How to reconcile these two things and develop the attitude of acceptance?
Yes, I think we discussed in the beginning that ananas chintayanto ma mejana pariupasate tesham nityabhyuktanam yogakshemam vahamiham. That level where we desire something from Krishna and Krishna fulfills. That is another level of devotional service. But the higher level, they are not, you know, opposite to each other, but there are different levels. So the second level, what you spoke, that Krishna says no, that is also fulfilling of our desires. Because Krishna, like in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami explains, Ami Vigya Yayi Murka. He said, I am intelligent, Krishna is saying, but my devotee is fool. Why? Because he's asking mundane thing, but I don't want to give. I force him to accept my Swacharanamrita Diya. I force him to accept the nectar from a lotus feet. But he's desiring mundane thing. So that nectar doesn't come in the nectar form only. It comes as something else. The appearance of that nectar may be something else. But we feel, oh, this is an obstacle. Like Gaur Govind Prabhu told a very nice story that one king was going around hunting. He could not find. Ultimately was exhausted, you know, riding on his horse. He came to a small hut and he was so thirsty, very thirsty, about to lose his life. He was breathing heavily and somebody offered him water, fresh, cool, fragrant water, Naturally, when you see fragrant cool water, we just gulp it. As if it is like a banana. Just don't drink it. So, he was about to, you know, touch the glass on his lips. She dropped some dust in that glass of water. You know, he was shocked. But because he was so thirsty, he saw that dust. The water was fragrant, very cool. He started blowing. And then he would take one sip. And he completed that glass of water. It was very troublesome. But he would blow it and sip water. Blow it, sip water. Blow it and sip water. And then he asked, why did you like that? She said, if I had given you this water without adding this dust, you are in such a haste. You are taking such heavy breath. You had gulped the water and that would have caused trouble to your health. Your breathing would be choked. So by adding that dust, you thought that was an obstacle. But you started blowing and you are pacifying. And slowly, slowly you are actually experiencing the taste of water. So Krishna is like that also. You know. We see the nectar, but we don't see that that dust is also helping us to experience the nectar. We say, why this dust has come? So when the trouble comes, you know, there also the trouble is giving us the facilities to actually experience the nectar in a very contemplative way. But we don't want that dust. He said, what is this? We don't want. So therefore, like Parikshit Maharaj, what a vision he had. He never desired that he should be cursed. But when the curse came to him, he didn't see that as a curse. That's an amazing thing. He saw that as Krishna. Dvijashaparupa. And because he saw that as Krishna, because of his consciousness, he attracted all his great sages, the great devotees, to come to his place. Can you imagine a king is dying and hundreds and thousands of sages have come to hear, to see how Parikshit Maharaj is going to die with that consciousness of devotee. And therefore when we exhibit that kind of character and consciousness, when we are complaining all the time about what's happening in our life, we see devotees start becoming very, very intelligent. They keep avoiding us. Mujhe ye kaam hai, mujhe wo kaam hai. They don't want to hear. They give excuses. They may help us in the beginning, but we continue to become a, you know, making devotees as a complaint box. I'm going to keep putting. Then what does it indicate? That we are not exhibiting the higher realms of devotional service. And, you know, and therefore we see Radhanand Maharaj, Prabhupada, they never liked people coming and complaining, giving complaints. He told one devotee wrote to Prabhupada about some devotees. Prabhupada wrote him back. He said, just like I am tolerating you, you tolerate them. As simple as that. He didn't hear his complaint. It creates a defensive. As Mahaprabhu was willing to run away from there. He said, I don't want to stay here. He had the power to protect anybody. He protected. He was about to kill Jagai Madai. He could have done that also to Pratap Rudra. Just send a Sudarshan Chakra. But then he didn't. He said, I'm leaving this place. It's a disturbance. Because they're asking a mundane benefit from me. But only when he came to know that what he was doing, when he was about to be raised to Changa, and what was the consciousness of Gopinath Patnaik Mahaprabhu, said, don't renounce. No need. You just continue making money. But see that you don't squander the money of the king in a wrong way. Mahaprabhu became very practical by seeing that consciousness. So therefore, they are not two different things. And what do we pray to Krishna usually? We don't pray for pure devotional service. We pray for certain facilities which we think we will use in Krishna's service. And Krishna may think that I don't think you'll use, therefore I'll not give. And we say, Krishna did not fulfill my desire. That is the trouble. Even as devotee, you know, if Krishna can award me 50 people who can help me to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, make every student a devotee, and Krishna doesn't provide 50 people, he said, no, I ask for your devotional service. No, you ask for the resources. But if the resources does not give, that is not stopping you from practicing devotional service. Like one devotee was offering obeisances to another devotee, was trying to grab his feet. And this another devotee was more powerful, he stopped him. He didn't allow to touch him. And this devotee said, Prabhu, you can stop me physically, but what about mentally? have already touched your feet. So bhakti is so, you know, natural that nothing can stop. One may not be able to perform. Recently, when Maharaj is going back to Europe, he gave a very nice brahmachari class. Of course, it is for everybody. We advise devotees to get hold of that lecture, talking about how everybody has the facilities to render devotional service. Not only specific category people can render, everyone can render devotional service. We read, Rupa Goswami quoted that example of Brahman in Pratishtapanpur. He had no resources. He had nothing to offer, but in the mind he offered. And then he attained greater perfection than those who are physically offering it to the Lord, because his meditation was much intense. So therefore, devotional service is so amazing that rather than lamenting by seeing others doing, sometimes it happens, others are doing service so nicely, we want to be that person. Rather than being what we are, we just focus, oh, he is doing like that, I should also be doing. Prabhupada says that is the Mayavad philosophy. Wanting to be Nanda Maharaj or Yashoda Mai is a Mayavad philosophy. Why not become their assistant? So same thing, if we see someone else is doing service, no. And rather than assisting that devotee and doing according to my capacity, we want to be that devotee. Why not become Radha Gopinath Prabhu, do Bhagavad Gita course like him only? Why not assist? Why not become like Gauranga Prabhu, being in Atma serial all the time? That's a mundane desire. That wanting to be like them. No, be what you are. Use your propensities in Krishna's service. And you will also go back to Godhead. They will also go back to Godhead. But again, we assume in the social, when we live in the society, most of the time is consumed by being to be what others are. No, I want to be this, I want to be that. But not wanting to be what we are and offering ourselves in the service of the Supreme Personality of God. And that will fetch perfection, guaranteed. So therefore, we should know what we are desiring. In the name of devotional service, we are desiring resources which we may use in Krishna service. And Krishna thinks that we may not use, and therefore he doesn't give it. But still, the facilities to, you know, to be a devotee of the Lord is never taken away from us. We'll stop here. We have a counselor's meeting. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki.